Hello and welcome to the Switch Island Express. This is episode 15, and this will actually be the first episode that goes out to everyone, not just patrons. Patrons will get it first, of course. But this is the podcast where we talk a little bit more briefly about things that are going on, what we've been playing, just general stuff like that, really. And today it's a bit more of an intimate one as well. It's me, Odd 84, Andrew, and joining me we have Mike. How are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I love your optimism though when you say it's going to be a bit of a shorter one. I know we try and keep the express shorter, but the patrons so far listening will know that it always kind of overspills.
It does a bit. Yeah, that's very true. But we try not to overspill too much, and it's definitely not as long as the OG ones, which can get quite lengthy. But yeah, we'll with just two of us, fingers crossed, we'll keep it to 30 minutes and not scare all the non-patrons away when they start listening to this.
I was going to say, welcome non-patrons. This yes. is our freeform podcast, so don't expect much structure.
Very true, yeah. Well, we've got a few things to talk about, at least. Obviously, we started with saying that this will be the first one that non-patrons will get to listen to. I think it'll be about a week after our patrons get to listen to it. They get first listen, first dibs. And we've got all sorts of other things to discuss Patreon-wise. We've had a bit of a rejig, but I think we'll come back to that later. Best thing to, I think, that we usually start with is what we've been playing. So I guess that's where we'll start. Mike, what have you been playing this week?
Oh my god. I think I say this more often than I really should, but it's been a bit of a light week on the Switch for me. The PS4 has been having a bit more love.
Okay. Good to hear on a Switch podcast.
Exactly. I think like a lot of people, when the Switch came out, we already had a console of sort of one or the other, or a PC, you know, and the Switch always to me seemed like a bit of an extra console. That being said, it didn't take long before it quickly became my main console. However, I've recently gone back to the PS4 to kind of tackle a lot of the games that I had sitting around on there. So I will mention that briefly. I finished Control this week, which is quite a new release, which nice. Is absolutely fantastic. It would not run on the Switch in a million years. Like, it has heavy frame rate issues even on the PS4 Pro, but if it ever did, I don't know, the Switch 2 or the Switch 3 by this point, I guess. if you're the kind of person who's only got a Switch and nothing else, it's still worth picking up if it ever comes to it. It's a very strange third person action shooter with some force power type things in it. When I say it's strange, I mean it's very convoluted and a little bit up its own ass in the story, okay. If you know what I mean. A bit yeah. obtuse for the sake of being obtuse. It's made by the same people who did Alan Wake, I believe, and also Quantum Break, one of yes. which is apparently a good game, the other is not. But this is an absolutely fantastic little game. The combat is really satisfying, the character's good, the story's good. Again, this is a Nintendo podcast, so anyone who's just a Nintendo fan listening who has no option to play this, I'm sorry. But, actually, big news today, we did get the potential release window for the PlayStation 5. December 2020. True. So, if you are one of the people who's only got a Switch, maybe now's the time to pick up a cheap PS4. And if you do, I'd recommend starting with Control.
Yeah, and it's worth saying it's on the Xbox One as well. It's not just
it is.
PS,
it is. Sorry, yes, PS4. I'm not saying this is one of the many exclusives. And I don't know if it's on PC. I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. But if it is, that's probably the way to go. If yeah. you can.
Yeah, always better.
Yeah, but it's just I can't really put my finger on it. Like I say, it's very strange, very obtuse, but a phenomenal game, and the combat is just really satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Dan played it as well. He's finished it, so I'm sure he's spoken about it before, maybe on another podcast, maybe just on Twitter, absolutely singing its praises.
It's a surprise he's finished a game, to be honest.
it is. But when Ben finishes a game, that's when we know we're in real trouble. But
right.
No, it was actually, I believe Dan posted a picture of it, and I had seen it around, and I don't think it sold that well, I think because of how they advertised it, but put all that out of your head, because it really is fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking about the Switch, though, thinking about the Switch again, like I say, it's been a bit of a Switch light week.
Not no that, pun intended.
Not that. Yeah, absolutely. Mainly clearing up a bit of the backlog. I jumped back into Mario vs. Rabbids.
Oh, nice.
Just because I got the gold edition of that on sale, got about halfway through the game and fell out. So I'm just kind of started trying to chip through that a bit, level by level.
Cool.
Which is, it's quite good that you can do it that way. I just started Gris, which, again, another one I picked up on sale. I know, very highly regarded. The Switch for me has been going back to titles that probably aren't that relevant anymore.
Mm.
Just because of this amazing sale we've had recently.
Been a very good sale. There's lots and lots of stuff that, I mean, we had basically like an entire, I think our last Express, in fact,
was
dedicated to the sale and going through all of that. So yeah, there's been a huge amount of stuff on sale. To be honest, I think every sale I've seen recently on the Switch has had something that I've wanted. So yeah, they're doing pretty well.
I think, but again, though, it's always the same with the Switch for me, is riding the line between heavily discounted gold and mobile port shovelware.
Mm, that's true. Yeah. The weird thing is that there are some mobile style games that probably are mobile games that are actually fairly decent. Like, there's a new one that's come out, and I've only played a little bit of it so far, but Island Maze, which is very much one of those kind of mobile style, you have to get stars to progress to the next level, you know, the Angry Birds style format. But it's basically, okay, you're like a box and you have to roll over certain things in order to activate switches in order to kind of like finish the level. It's mobile style. It's very cheap at the moment. I think it's in the sale as well. There are a lot of really terrible mobile ports, but for every few terrible ones, you do get the odd decent one, I think.
It's true. And for the most part, to be fair, for the most part, you can pick out the awful mobile ports. Yeah. Specifically, like you mentioned there, the star rating system. If ever you see a game on the eShop and the screenshot is, I saw one today actually, is the overlay of worlds, as it were, levels, you know, stages, whatever, however they decide to display it, one of the key things that you'll always see is three stars,
mm-hmm.
right? Is how it, can you three star this level? And yeah. I always see, if I see a level labeled with three potential stars, you know it's come over from port somehow. And I saw one on there today that was a very obvious, what was it called? It was called Beats Runner, right? Mm. And it seemed like an endless runner, crossy road, you know, blocky graphics that mobile games have sort of had this renaissance style of. Mm. And it was £7.
Wow.
£7, which I imagine the only thing that you get for that £7 is they've removed adverts.
Yeah.
Which is, when you think about it, is ridiculous when compared to what that mobile game probably asks you for on mobile to remove the adverts. £1,
yeah,
£2, something like that.
It's a Switch tax, isn't it? It's virtue of being on the Switch.
It just bogs down all the good releases, and it's just such a pain. I felt that these last few weeks particularly have been quite bad for shovelware.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the problem at the moment with the Switch, really, is it is getting very Wii, as in, you know, with the Wii, there was, for every good game, there was five terrible ones, and you go into any secondhand shop now, and it's just full to bursting with terrible Wii games that nobody wants, and the Switch eShop is becoming that to a degree. I think, to be fair, there is still a lot of really good stuff there, so I don't think it's got to that level yet.
There is good stuff, it's just the case of finding it,
you
know, having to wade through it, just because the Switch eShop doesn't exactly have the best user interface, the best layout.
It's true.
It's easy for games to get lost in the, you know, in far down the list.
Yeah, It is difficult, yeah. I think that's something that they do need to look at if they ever do another kind of revision of their OS and the shop in general. They need to look at kind of making that a bit more user-friendly.
Absolutely.
Because it's not great. You do have to search specifically for what you want or just rely on what Nintendo show you, which can sometimes not be the best. So
True, which is why I find the best way to do it, aside from checking the recent releases every few days and being very vigilant on the watch list. For example, my watch list is absolutely chocker, and then I sort of check that when there's a sale on, is just by keeping an eye on the sales tab, which, again, like we said, has been really good this time round, and I've just used it as a chance to pick up all the games that previously people have said, oh, this is a great game on Switch, but I just haven't got around to playing it.
I mean, the problem with Gris that
being the prime example.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that wish list though is one, it's not. I think is it only 250 games you can have? I say only. You can have like 250 games on it before it stops letting you have any games.
I wasn't aware. Believe it or not, I haven't quite got to 250
yet. Not quite
reached
it yet.
Not quite yet. No.
But the other thing though is that then Nintendo, when there is a sale, will email you and say there are this many games in your wish list on sale, and I think the last time for this sale, I think it was like 26. It's like there are 26 games on your wish list that are on sale, and it's great because at least you know, but also it means there are 26 potential games that you might want to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. To be fair, I feel like I've linked my Switch account to a spam email because I haven't seen any of those, and they're not the kind of emails I like to get. Yeah, I get enough of that crap already. But
that's true.
Yeah.
What about
you? What have you been playing this week then?
There we go. Good segue. I was going to talk about mobile games as well, as we mentioned them. A mobile game that I've been playing, oddly, I don't really play many, was Choo Choo Rocket Universe, I think it's called.
See, that's exactly what I mean, Matt. It's that kind of title that you just know it's been ported over from mobile. But does it have three stars on each level?
Well, you see, this one is a mobile game, so it's not on Switch yet.
Okay.
So this one is Apple Arcade. So Apple Arcade kind of launched fairly recently.
Yes, it did launch recently. Yeah, I haven't even looked at that.
Yeah. So you get a free trial, so I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And I'm just double checking what the title of the game is, because Choo Choo Rocket is one of my favourite Dreamcast games, and I'm pretty sure it's Choo Choo Rocket Universe. But it is one of the, obviously it's on the arcade, so you don't have to pay any money for it besides the subscription fee. And it is Choo Choo Rocket Universe, looking at my phone as we talk. And it is classic Choo Choo Rocket kind of puzzle mode, brought into that three star, searching for the three star kind of Angry Birds type thing. And they've improved it by kind of making it a bit more 3D. So it's not just kind of flat puzzles that you're doing. You kind of have to rotate like spheres or cubes and solve these puzzles. Anybody not familiar with Choo Choo Rocket, it's basically you're tasked with getting some little orange mice into a rocket ship. And there are cats who try to eat the mice on the way. So you have to use these, you have a set amount of different directional arrows that you can use to direct the mice in different areas. And you have to kind of safely direct them into the rockets.
Not quite the same, but does it have the same sort of play style idea as, say, Lemmings, where they're going to go from A to B, you need to create their path?
Pretty much, yeah. It is that. Yeah, there are obstacles in the way, and there are pitfalls and, like traps and things. So yeah, you have to divert them around the bad stuff and get them to the end point. So yeah, pretty much it is Lemmings, I guess, in a way, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Dreamcast version was kind of originally meant to be like a multiplayer. It was the first game in the UK, at least in Europe, that supported online play. So it was like a multiplayer puzzle game where one side would play the cats and the other side would play the mice.
Right. Oh, okay.
And there was a kind of a puzzle mode to it, but that was like secondary. Whereas this mobile version, Choo Choo Rocket Universe, is all puzzle. So it's basically all puzzle mode, but it's really fun for what it is. It's a really fun game.
And is that exclusive to the Apple Arcade, or can you buy it as a one-off on the iOS store?
Yeah, it's exclusive to Apple Arcade at the moment. I don't know if that's forever or just like a timed thing, but yeah, currently it's the only way to play it.
How have you been finding that? I know it's a little bit off topic, but obviously quite recently launched. It's turned a few heads. I'm unsure about it, mainly. I mean, I don't like subscription services.
No.
At the best of time, it's why I stopped using Adobe Suite because, you know, I'd much rather just pay for it one off. And again, yeah. PlayStation Now, one of the other big famous subscription that was streaming. So I guess that's why it really maybe didn't take off in the in that age of poor internet. But how are you finding Apple Arcade so far? Would you say it's worth it? You're on the free trial at the moment. Are you going to stick with it?
I'd like to stick with it, but, and I feel like I mention this in every podcast I'm on now, but because I'm being made redundant in a month's time, I don't know whether I'll be able to afford to keep going.
Whether it's quite the right thing.
Yeah.
To do,
but, okay. The thing is, it's only $4.99 a month, so it's not terrible, but, it's so far, I think I like it because it has a lot of different kind of games. And the good thing about it is they work over all Apple platforms. So you can, well, I don't know if they work on Mac, but they definitely work on iPhone, iPad, and Apple TV. So the good thing about that is you can play them basically wherever you are, which is great. And also they've got the, when they did the iOS 13 update and the TV update as well, they included the ability to connect PS4 and Xbox One controllers via Bluetooth.
Right, yes. Yeah,
which is great.
Rather than Apple's proprietary controller, which is quite unlike Apple.
It is,
To give you that option, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good on them, I guess.
I think they've realised that there are other people who are already doing that better. Like, they can't reinvent the controller, basically.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Much as they like to try.
Yeah.
And I guess the biggest draw of it is, well, twofold, really. Supposedly, it's obviously unlimited games, without ads, without microtransactions. It's sort of, you know, you pay the subscription fee and you can just play as many as you want. But then also, it's supposedly a slightly curated list of better titles than you might find, more fleshed out games, as it were, rather than things to distract you while you take a shit. Is that the case? Have you found that the games are of a better quality than you might get on the recommended page of the App Store?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking at some, again, getting my phone out and having a look, because why not? But I mean, you look at things like, is it Sayonara Wild Hearts? Is that the title of it? Which is on the Switch, but that is on Apple Arcade. And so basically for your subscription, you can get a game that's been quite well reviewed, actually. I think Sayonara Wild Hearts. You get stuff like Hot Lava. There's Oceanhorn 2. I know Dan's not a fan of Oceanhorn, but it's quite a nice little Zelda clone.
It is a full game, at least. That's whether you're a fan or not. There's a big difference between, say, the Oceanhorn games and, like you mentioned before, Angry Birds, Candy Crush. You know, these quick 2 minute whatevers.
Yeah.
Mobile games, really. Yeah, and I think that will be the thing to watch as to whether Apple Arcade is successful in the long term, is do they have enough full games to keep people invested in the $5 a month.
I think, they need to keep up the releases. I think they've got these initial, I think it's about 100 games or just under 100 games, and they're going to have to keep up and release more and more, because obviously people are going to play through them.
Yeah.
Some of them are not going to be to everybody's cup of tea. Some of them don't. I mean, I tried Hot Lava on my Apple TV. I thought I'll give it a go with like the Xbox controller and see how it is. But the problem being is I think I have the older Apple TV, like the generation 4, not the 4K. And so it really struggled. It really struggled to play it. I think...
I wonder if they'll ever add some of the... we've been calling these bigger games, but some of the really big games to it, because on the App Store, there are full-fledged games that you can play on your phone and on your iPad. You know, you've got most of the early GTAs, I think, right up to San Andreas.
True, yeah.
Are games that they could put on there. Maybe there's an issue with licensing, I don't know, but you can get them on iPhone and iPad. The Civ games, you can get Civ 5, don't think, maybe it's Civ 6, I don't know, Fortnite, you know, there's no reason why we can't see some of these larger games. And again, I think that would go a long way in helping people on the fence and people who don't play a lot of mobile games jump over.
Yeah.
Because if I could have, you know, the Rockstar Collection and the Civ games, whatever they've got on there, and, you know, for $5 a month, you know, that I'd be much more inclined to do that compared to what they charge for them actually on the App Store, which, I mean, varies. Final Fantasy games, all of the early ones are on there as well.
It's true. I think, I think those kind of games would be a big coup if they could get those. But I think the problem with that is that those are the kind of games that people are more willing to pay money for because they've got like an established brand.
Absolutely.
People know about it. So, you know, I own GTA 3 on my iPhone already. I've probably got, so I think Civilization 6 is the one that's on like the iPad. And those are also games that they charge a lot of money for as well. So like, I think Civilization 6
they
is
do.
Like
they
30
are
or 40
oftentimes
pounds.
full releases. Yeah.
Which would be difficult, I think, on the arcade type subscription to kind of achieve the same kind of money that they would be looking for, I suppose.
I agree with the Civ games, particularly Civ 6, but for example, GTA 3, like realistically, who's looking to pay full price? You could easily put one of the GTA games at least on the subscription. Just that one game that is not mobile game, but it's bigger than the full, I don't want to say full, bigger than the big, you can't see this, but I'm doing air quotes right now, listeners, big games that we get on Apple Gaming or Apple Arcade already.
Yeah. I think it would be nice to see those bigger titles. I think, you know, kind of bringing on existing games would be great, but I think what Apple Arcade, I think their whole brand is, it's more to do with new titles and new games. Like they've got quite a few big developers. I think Konami and Capcom have gotten on board and created games specifically for Apple Arcade, which looks fairly good. They're not like the big full console type games. They are more mobile gaming related, adjacent. But I think that's what Apple are going for. They're wanting these brand new titles, like, you know, things that people come specifically to Apple Arcade for that they can't really find anywhere else, or that they would struggle to find elsewhere. But I think I agree with you in terms of the fact that perhaps it would bring them more subscribers in the first place if they had, you know, these one or two bigger titles that would draw people in, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just coming from my point particularly as someone who doesn't really play a lot of smaller games, certainly someone who doesn't play a lot of mobile games. I just think, yeah, maybe one or two just big releases, at least just to start. You could even rotate them. I don't know. But then again, it's Apple. Everything they do is a mystery to me, and yet they make a shit ton of money, so you can't fault them.
No, it's true. The reason I love them is just everything works together. Like, you have your Apple TV, you can cast from your iPhone, you know, you can connect your AirPods, you can, you know, there's just something about that, you know, the being able to do everything natively that I quite like. And the fact that's been integrated with Apple Arcade now, and the fact that you can play games natively on all these other devices is a really clever thing for them to do, I think.
Yes, yeah. Well, Apple's ecosystem, as it were, has always been really, really practical.
Yeah.
You know, it's they've done a great job of making sure that if you've got an iPhone, it's great to have an iPad, or if you've got an iPad, it's great to have a Mac, and Apple TV fits right in with that. As if you've got one, it just works seamlessly with the others.
Yeah.
Which is what they want. But yeah, all right, well, I mean, after the free trial, see if you keep going with it, keep us posted, because who knows, maybe it's a fantastic deal and I'm just being stubborn.
It could be a good supplement for Switch gaming, I guess. If you leave your Switch at home but you've got your iPhone on you, you've got something to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And moving back to the Switch, just briefly.
Yes.
Just
what?
Briefly.
You mean this is a Nintendo podcast?
I know. Shocking. Shocking. The other game that I've been playing this week is Grid Autosport. Which,
right. Yes, you mentioned that before. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a review code of it, so I've had to play it, and that makes it sound like I didn't want to.
Make it sound like you didn't want to. Yeah.
I had to play it, but I was excited for it beforehand. But it's one of those where when you're reviewing a game, you have to play it. You know, you can't just put it down and then leave it for like a week or two and then come back to it and go, oh yeah, you're almost forced to keep going even when usually you might not. And actually that's been quite good, because it means that I've kind of had to play a game for longer than a couple of hours this week. I think I've kind of logged about 10 hours so far, maybe just this week. And it's actually really good. Like I was.
So as someone who knows nothing about this game, okay. Give me the elevator pitch.
Okay. Grid Autosport is a five-year-old game from the 360 that has been ported over to the Switch by a company called Feral Interactive. And basically, it's I don't know if you've ever heard of the Toca Touring Car series of games from kind of back in the PS1 days, but it's from...
Is that like a dirt rally, but you drive a taco truck?
Not quite.
That's what it is, right? Taco Tour, taco right? Tour. It's you race in a taco truck on a tour, right?
That should be a game. We should get that game made. But no. So Toca was like a touring car championship game, and then Grid became more than just touring cars. They kind of incorporated loads of different motorsports. So you've got in Grid Autosport, you have the touring cars, but you also have street racing. You've got tuner cars. You've got kind of F1 style cars. All these different kind of disciplines, and you race in different championships to compete to be the best. And it's basically it's kind of like a simulation racing game mixed with an arcade racer, with just a shitload of content. And it's a Codemasters game as well, so it's kind of by the same people who make Dirt and, you know, the F1 games and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so they know it comes from people who know what they're doing.
Yeah,
at least.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's from kind of like a long line of really well received games, and this one has been ported over to the Switch, and it's basically the first proper racing game that's come to the Switch. So we've had Mario Kart, all the karting games, and we've had a few of those mobile ports as well of racing games that run the mobile platforms, but this is the first proper racing game for the Switch. So yeah,
fair enough. I mean, and how does the port handle? Obviously you said it's coming back over from the Xbox 360. The Switch has managed to do some incredible things graphically with some games ported over from that generation. Have they, you know, taken the extra time, or does it just look kind of like a straight port, about the same? It looks like an Xbox 360 game.
I would say it's definitely not one of those lazy ports that we see. It's not somebody trying to come in and kind of grab people's cash. It's like I always kind of refer back to, although I love Resident Evil and I'm really happy it's on the Switch, like Capcom just ported once again one of their flagship games to the Switch just to earn
a
quick buck.
It's that time of year again. Port it again.
Bring out Resident Evil. But it's not that. I mean, Codemasters got, I think I mentioned before, Feral Interactive, who are also the people who are going to be porting Alien Isolation over to the Switch.
Right, okay.
So they have a bit of a pedigree behind them already for handling ports, and they've ported a lot of other stuff to other consoles and to mobile platforms as well. And rather than just do a quick port, what they did is they really looked at what the Switch is, and they realized that, you know, it's not just a console sat in somebody's house. It's taken on the go. People have different requirements of it. So what they've done graphically, it looks great. I mean, it looks like something you know, that should be on the Switch. It doesn't look like a five-year-old game, so it looks great. But they've also given lots of different graphical options. So if you're out on the go and you want to conserve your battery life, for instance, you can kind of dial down the graphics and the performance in order to preserve battery life, which is great. You can increase performance by kind of lowering, you know, the battery life and all that kind of stuff. So what they've done is they've really taken into account what the Switch is. There's a HD texture pack, so if you've not got that much room left on your memory card, which I know a lot of people don't, you can kind of like download that separately if you want to. It's well worth doing. But also with the control methods, like it has really great HD rumble, so they've actually implemented proper HD rumble support, so all the different road textures and things that have proper, like you feel like you're on those surfaces. But the problem with the Switch controllers, like the Joy-Cons and the Pro controller, is that they're digital triggers rather than analog triggers. So
yes,
you can't. It's difficult to accelerate.
It's on or off.
Exactly.
Basically. And I always thought this is that the same for the Pro controller.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's digital as well.
That's really bad considering
it is.
How much it is.
It's true.
So I knew the Joy-Cons, it's either on or off. And obviously, I think the game that I've struggled the most with in because of that was the Trials game. I forget what it was called, the most recent one.
Trials
World or something. Trials Fusion. One of the trials, you know, balance a motorbike game. That just does not work with without being able to sort of, you know, have a soft touch on the accelerator. So
yeah. It's just become difficult.
Is it a problem in Grid?
It's okay. It causes some issues. So, like, for instance, when you're coming around a corner and you obviously put on your brake to slow down, when you come to put your foot back on the accelerator, because there's no, you know, it's just on or off, it takes a while to go back up to speed rather than you being able to kind of really crank it. But the good thing is that they've given you options. So the first one is you can use the second analog stick as accelerate and brake. So you can kind of push forward and back on the stick.
I think they did the same thing in trials. Yeah, it seems to be a popular workaround.
Which is good. It's it's a bit difficult. Like, it's not natural to do that, I don't think. And I made the mistake as well of trying it and then also turning on motion control. So I was there, like, pushing the stick backwards and forwards to do accelerate and brake and then turning the controller. And it just kind of melted my brain. I didn't know what was going on and I kept crashing. It was really bad. Sure. But the best thing that they've done is...
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. The best thing they've done is they've incorporated the GameCube controller, which does have analog triggers. And if you've got one of the USB adapters, like the ones you get for Smash Brothers, you can plug in the GameCube controller and you can use that to actually control the cars properly with analog triggers, which is fantastic. So they've gone kind of above and beyond.
Has it got multiplayer?
Not yet. It did originally.
I was going to say, because that seems like a bit of a balancing issue then, if they ever do multiplayer, is to say, right, the only way to really have a competitive edge is to get yourself a GameCube controller or a supported one with analog controls.
Yeah, I mean, you could use this, like you said, you could use the stick. So, you know, the balancing issues there are just basically if people refuse to use the stick on the Joy-Con and use the digital triggers. I guess, but I don't know. They are bringing out multiplayer. They're going to patch it in later for free, which is great. But yeah, it'd be interesting definitely to see how they handle it and how that works in practice. Because I think the majority of people will just be using their Joy-Cons or a Pro controller, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, I'm interested to see your thoughts in the final review, which will be on the website later this week, possibly tomorrow, probably the day after.
So possibly might be up by the time this podcast is
out. By the time this goes out, yeah, go check the website. Yeah. Maybe Grid, the review for Grid is up.
Yeah, I won't spoil any more than that. I won't give you the score or anything like that.
But on that note, actually, Andrew, I just because we made such a big deal out of it at the beginning, timer says we've been going for half an hour. We failed, damn it, we failed.
Damn it.
I know. So we better smoothly segue into our patron section.
Yes.
A quick update.
Yes. So we have a patron, for those who don't know. Obviously, those of you listening first who are already patrons, thank you very much. You know about this already. But those of you listening for the first time to The Express, because we're opening up to everybody, we do have a Patreon. We've given it a little bit of a shake-up recently, and we've got basically a lot of different things that you can get involved with. So if you like what we do, you can give us money, which is what Patreon's all about, and get and get more involved.
Tactfully put, as
very tactfully put, yeah. Which, as Dan very rightly pointed out in the OG, number 38, we use to go towards things like keeping the website going, our SoundCloud account, SoundCloud account, and other things as well, you know, just things that basically help us bring content to you. That's all it goes into, really. So you can give us a dollar. It's all in dollars. I know we're a British podcast, but it's all in dollars. And you can give us a
dollar. Wow, you look at the exchange rate right now, mate. We don't want to go into it too much, but I think dollars is the way to go.
That's true. We might be on dollars in a few months' time if we're not careful. So yeah, you can throw us a dollar, which is just basically a bit of a tip. It's a monthly thing if you've not heard of Patreon before. So every month you can give us a dollar to tell us how much you like our content. But you can get more than that. So if you tip us $2 a month, you will get access to Patreon-only giveaways, and we'll also mention you on the OG podcast as an official Islander. So there you go, $2 a month, and you get your name read out by a bunch of guys from the UK chatting about Nintendo.
Yeah, in a sexy British accent, if that's what you're into.
Exactly. Yeah, it depends on which one of us is reading it, to be fair.
I was going
to
say neither of us.
Thanks. Speak for yourself. But there's more than that. So there's we also have a big Discord community. It's kind of growing, and you'll get more.
It is growing. It's growing quite well, actually. We've had quite a few people join recently.
Yeah, we have. We're always chatting about loads of stuff, not just the Switch, not just Nintendo. We just chat about life and, you know, other stuff too. So if you want to have a friendly chat with us, you can join Discord. Discord is free to join, by the way, but some of our other Patreon perks are that you get access to exclusive areas on Discord. So we've got the Flamingo Bar and Grill that you can get access to if you back our $5 tier, for instance. And the $5 tier is where you also start to get things like first listens. So things like This Express, you'll get to listen to a week early via Patreon. And then as we keep going, I won't go through everything, but basically you get more and more stuff, and the top tiers, you actually get physical things. So we will give you a stamp card, and for every consecutive month that you back us via Patreon at that level, we'll give you a stamp and you can put it towards buying something from the Switch Island Corner Shop. And we're going to release more information about the Corner Shop a bit later. But there's some pretty cool stuff. It goes from a little care package, which will have things like stickers, postcards, a 3-month online subscription, all the way up to a pro controller if you save up enough stamps. So yeah, lots and lots going on.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's worth mentioning that obviously the Patreon's been running a long time. Some of you have been with us for quite a while, and we really appreciate that. But as we've started to get quite a few more now, and the podcast and the site is growing, we thought that a revamp was very much needed, just to give a few more options and a few more rewards to certain tiers. Just because everyone's different, and if you can only afford to give, you know, $1 a month, that's just as appreciated as someone who can give more. But we just wanted to do something a bit more for you, top tier patron, you executive producers, executive producers of the show. It's also worth mentioning, as this will eventually go out to the public, we did say this on the last Express to you, just to the patrons, but anyone who's hearing this, is we have got another giveaway coming up soon on Patreon that we do every so often. This one's to celebrate a grand total of 20 patrons. I believe, at the moment, we actually just got a new patron today.
Yes, we did.
And I believe that takes our total up to 18.
Oh, let's have a look. I'm going to look now. Let's have a look.
Okay. All right. Well, just for the sake of killing the silence, I'm going to assume it's 18 for now, and say that when we hit 20, we have a giveaway of a physical copy to all. This is to all patrons, whether you give $1 or $1,000 or whatever. No one's giving us $1,000, but if you are a patron, you are open to this giveaway. The current prize is a physical copy of Flipping Death, which is a great little game. It is on sale at the moment, but if you are a patron or if you're considering joining us, hold off on it just now, because you could be in with a 1 in 20 chance to win yourself a physical copy of Flipping Death.
Very, very good. I mean, even if you have already got it, you could get a physical version of it. And who doesn't?
You could give it to a mate.
Who doesn't like that?
Do what you want. Exactly. Sell it. Do what you want.
We're at 16 patrons at the moment. 16. So there's four more to get. And also, just to clarify as well, you have to contribute $2 or more to be in with the show.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Scratch that shit. 16 and it's $2. But yes, I've just got him here, actually. Special thanks to Jesper Kondrup. Again, I'm really bad with the patron name, so I really hope that's how you pronounce it. Jesper Kondrup, we'll throw that in for good measure, as a new $2 patron joined today. Thank you so much, Jesper.
So you will be in with a chance of winning when we
get 20. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd take those odds.
Yeah, absolutely. I would too. But yeah, that's a really good giveaway, and we'll have more of them as we kind of get more and more people on board. And like you said, Mike, it doesn't matter how much you contribute, just as much as you can if you want to. And it all goes towards just keeping things ticking over here and us giving you more content just like this, where we go on for 40 minutes instead of half an hour about...
Damn it, Andrew, things, we're so sure of ourselves,
about,
man.
Things that aren't even related to Nintendo, which Dan will love us for.
We were so... Sure.
We were very sure. I mean, we can get Ben to cut this down to 30. He can remove all the crap if we
don't
want
do
to.
It, Ben. This is comedy gold.
So yeah, that's Patreon. I mean, have a look. It's patreon.com/theswitchisland. It's worth having a look. You can see the tiers for yourself. And we will very soon be releasing the details of the Island Corner Shop. So you can see all of those different things that you can get. There's some really cool stuff there as well that you'll be able to get if you save up those stamps. But yeah, even if you back at $2, $5, you get some pretty cool stuff, and being able to listen to us chat about Nintendo 7 days before everybody else with the Express and the guide to, you know, what's not to like about that?
Nothing is not to like about that.
Cool. Well, I think we should probably leave it there before we get onto 45 minutes and really blow it. Thank you very much for joining us for the Express today. I've been Andrew, and you can find me online at Oddmint84.
And I've been Mike, and you can find me online at KennyPressF.
Thanks very much again for listening. Do take a look at Patreon if you can, and remember to follow us at The Switch Island for everything Switch related. Until next time.